But you have me instead, and Alan and I have worked together for the past 15 years. We're kind of like an old married couple, so I think I can speak on his behalf, except if you get into questions around the analytics. So I'll stop you there and send you to Alan if that happens. But I'm here to talk about our community health initiative, which was already described. It's a place-based, multi-sector approach aimed at creating healthy opportunities for safe physical activity and nutrition. And I know this is the nutrition section, but I'm going to focus on both sides with a particular emphasis on our evaluation, both methodology and kind of a flavor of some early findings. No disclosures. And I'm going to talk in particular about our Northern California intervention. It's called Heal Zones, and this is part of our community health initiative, but we've got a handful of sites, six of them, they're shown on the map there, that are specific to our Northern California region, and we've just wrapped up a three-year investment there, so I'm going to show you the results of that three-year investment, and you'll see that we've got Santa Rosa, San Francisco, Monument is in Concord, California, Sacramento, Modesto, and Madera, and we funded community collaboratives. On purpose, we funded existing collaboratives that had a history of working together, and we can talk about that, the reason why we did that, if you like, but those were where they're located, and this is what we asked them to do. We call them goal areas, but they're also outcomes. This was how we organized our evaluation, so that we could look at how folks were decreasing their caloric consumption, and how they were increasing specifically fruits and vegetables and the consumption of that. And then we had a hard look at physical activity in a variety of settings, including the community setting and then several institutions, which included schools, and you'll see some results around the school interventions in particular. This is a look at our strategies. This is how they fell out. We looked at the types of strategies that communities selected. So we gave people the outcomes, and then communities picked what they wanted to work on, and this is how it played out. For the most part, people worked on policy and environmental strategies, about 60% there. And this is where we drove people towards that place and away from only programmatic. So you'll see fewer programmatic strategies, but we had a particular emphasis: if you're going to do programs and if you're going to do capacity, make sure it's in support of the policy and environmental changes. So that was a big decision for us, where we knew that just because you build something, you build a walking trail or you build a new playground, doesn't mean they'll come. So there may be important programmatic changes that need to go in collaboration, but programs in and of themselves, like just a Zumba class in the community, we tried to stay away from that. We wanted to make sure it was in support of the bigger environmental changes or policy changes that were going on. And with capacity, that it was capacity for what? We always ask that question, capacity for what? So capacity in and of itself is great, but not this initiative. Capacity toward policy and environmental changes was very important, and we couldn't have done this without building capacity of people and of coalitions. So this is a look at what's going on the ground. We're seeing some great transformations. One thing I didn't mention is across our community health initiative, we have 52 sites. So I'm only talking about six of them in the Northern California region, but we have pictures like this across 52 sites across the nation. So it's pretty amazing community transformation. And these pictures are, for the most part, from a photo voice effort where we had people do the traditional photo voice at pre, and then at post, we had them go back with their cameras and take a picture of what was different in their communities what were the most important impacts, physical, environmental changes, and why did it matter, what still needs to happen, but really using photo voice as an evaluation tool to get at impact. And so here you see just a sampling of some of the pre-posts where we're looking at physical transformations. And more recently, we've learned that we also had to understand the nature of those changes. Are they strong enough to move behavior change? Because if you recall, those were our outcomes. We were interested in seeing increases or decreases where it was relevant in behavior change. So this is just a flavor of the results, just to let you know what are the kinds of things we're seeing. This is a look at childcare centers, and on the left you'll see that we're seeing double-digit changes in childcare centers. And this is actually really important for the field. The field is telling us now that childcare and young children are an important sector and population. And what the field is also telling us is they're telling us this about institutional childcare. And what we did is we looked at home-based childcare. So you'll see these are 17 different childcare centers, and we're seeing these results across the 17. So this is an important contribution to the evidence now, which is starting to say childcare centers are a place to be for this work. And we're adding to that saying, and don't forget the home childcare centers, not just the institutional. You can be successful there too. Although the reach is smaller, they tend to serve a smaller population. So that's something to be aware of. We're also seeing similar changes. This is San Francisco in Bayview, one of the harder communities in San Francisco. And this is looking at the faith-based as the sector. And we're seeing similar changes to the childcare inside faith-based. Decrease in soda consumption, and then increases in fruits and vegetables and decreases in fried food, just to give you a flavor of the types of results. Okay, so now I'm going to introduce something slightly different. So at the end of the day, we were trying to move population health. How many in the room have heard of a concept called DOSE that's come about in the past several years? Okay, so maybe about half the room. It's this idea that if you want to move population health, you got to have a strong enough strategy. So it's this, or strong enough implementation. So it's this idea that you want to touch as many people as possible, and you want to have a strong touch so that it's strong enough to move behavior. And so this is the reach, dose equals reach times strength. So it's getting at, really, interventions matter, and the strength of the intervention matters, especially around population health improvement, which was our end game. So we introduced this concept about 5 years ago, and we've been building it out and evolving it ever since. So what you'll see here is just a glimpse of it. But if you want more information, we have some recent publications just in the past month or maybe two. One from the Institute of Medicine that's a perspective that builds this out. And the second, which is kind of even more hot off the press, is a dose toolkit. So if you Google population dose, or Kaiser Permanente population dose, you'll see a toolkit that we designed recently to benefit the practitioners of these kinds of initiatives. So you can plug in your interventions, you can plug in number of people you're reaching, and it will take you to a place that increases your dose. So it's really exciting and hot off the press, and I encourage you to go there. We've really used dose in two ways. One is a way to accelerate change, to help folks build out strong interventions, but the other was the evaluation side of it. And this one is something I feel less confident in. We're really trying to work it out here. But it's this idea that you can use this concept of dose to estimate or predict your population health measures. So you predict where you're going to be more successful, and then you match the data that you collect on those predictions. So you're looking for associations between the two. So if you see population health improvements, you can feel more confident that it can be attributed to the interventions that you're implementing. If you're seeing population health improvements but you didn't do anything in the intervention, you probably shouldn't claim that as a result of your initiative. Okay, so this is a look at our population health improvements. I'm only going to show a couple of these. We actually had way more than we ever anticipated, given that this was just a 3-year intervention. So this was pretty exciting. This is a look at physical activity, and this is a look across all 6 sites. And in these cases, we use the DOSE methodology to predict that we would see population health improvements here. So we organize the strategies by what we call DOSE clusters. You can read more about that in the publications that I said, but organizing around the outcome of physical activity, that was one of our key outcomes. And what you see here is on the left is elementary schools, increase in minutes, and on the right is middle school and high school, also increase in minutes. And what you see here is that 4 out of our 6 sites showed population health improvements when we measured using our own survey. So we used a survey that was modeled after the YRBF, but implemented at those schools at the right time. So it was we used a tablet to collect data from kids in 5th, 7th, and 9th grade. And these are showing our results. And what you see on the bottom, we have all kinds of changes, as the field does, with the compared to what problem. So on the bottom, you'll see that we're comparing, we don't have comparison communities here. We're comparing to the trends of the YRBF. And what you'll also see is that we don't have data past 2013. So we still need to wait for the 2015 data to really understand the implications of this and exactly how do we compare to the benchmark. But what you'll see is the trends up through halfway through our initiative, we're actually showing a decline in physical activity. And you'll see from our bar charts that we're seeing significant increases in physical activity across 4 out of the 6 sites. So that's pretty promising, we think. This is another look, and this is a look at sugar-sweetened beverages, and this is probably one of our most confusing results. Dose sort of fell apart here with a look at sugar-sweetened beverages. We did not see, from a dose perspective, strong interventions. We're trying to understand what that means. Perhaps dose is something different when you've got a national thing going on, state campaigns, national campaigns, local campaigns, and our interventions were more around promotion, education, advocacy, and so they were not what we categorized as high-dose interventions based on our methodology, so we're trying to understand this. You know, what does this mean, and what are the implications for dose and also for the intervention? So these are very preliminary. I'm just showing you what the results were. And also I'll say here that the benchmarks were really confusing here. For those of you who know the data well, Burfis changed the way they asked the question midway through. So they now added sweet teas, I think, and what else was it? Sports drinks to the question. So it actually looks like a major increase instead of a decrease. The rest of the benchmarks are going down, like NHANES and all that. They're going down, meaning sugar-sweetened beverages is less now, but Burfis is actually going up, and so we weren't quite sure how to interpret that either. But what we are seeing is across, on the left are adults, on the right are kids in schools, and across 4 out of 6 of our sites again, we're seeing that the consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages is going down more than those benchmarks. No matter which benchmark you look at, it looks like we're going down farther, significantly farther. And also here, for the adults, we had a comparison community. So we were able to say, and our comparison community was flat. It wasn't even going down like the rest of the nation. It was flat. So we were able to say, on the left again as adults, that our communities are going down farther, faster perhaps, than the comparison community. So this was promising, and we still need to understand what this all means, because again, our dose methodology falls flat here. Okay, and then this is a slide that takes a look at site duration. So we had 2 waves of investment. We had an initial wave of 5 years of investment, and then we kept 2 of those sites and added 4 additional sites, which total our 6 that I presented at the beginning. So 2 of the sites have been around for 8 years, and 4 of the sites have been around for only 3 years. So we took a look at those 4 outcomes and the final 3 years. Hopefully you're following me. So the most recent 3 years of investment, and we looked at those 4 outcomes across all 6 sites, and what we saw is that the sites where we had invested longer were showing more outcomes in those 4 areas of the past 3 years, if you're following me. So what that looks like to us is that it was really important to get sites ready in the first 5 years to hit the ground running on the things we cared about in the most recent interventions. So it looks like they were able to go farther and perhaps faster if they had some experience of doing this kind of work together. They had the partners. It makes perfect sense. The partners in place, relationships, work started. But we did a pre 3 years ago and a post now, and we see more outcomes in the longer funded sites. Kind of an important message for particularly for funders. So here is a summary of all of the work. The number one thing, implementation matters. And I mean that on so many levels. I mean that from a dose perspective, that you got to reach a lot of people with a strong enough touch to move population health. But I also mean that you can have the same corner store intervention in one community and something very different in another community. And so how you implement it really, really matters. For example, you might have a Safe Routes to School effort that's a one-time event. That's a very small intervention compared to a school that's doing before school, after school, multiple kids, district-wide, combining it with infrastructure changes. So how you implement that really matters. I think I can't say that enough. And people are always coming to me asking, okay, I didn't mention this either. We've been doing this for 10 years, and we were one of the first out of the gate with this kind of work. So what have we learned? Just tell us what to do, and that's what we'll do. And it's not that easy of an answer. If you forced me to do it, I could probably give you a flavor of what I think works. In terms of individual interventions, but what I can say with confidence, based on our data, is that it's a combination of strategies. In those physical activity results that I showed you, where we have 4 out of 6 communities, it was not a single intervention. It was before school, after school, Safe Routes to School, training for teachers, recess, and not any particular combination of those, but it seemed to be a combination of policies, environment, and education and promotion that allowed us to get to the population health improvement. So if you're thinking about a single outcome of increased physical activity or nutrition, you need to make sure that you're focusing on a combination of strategies, all targeting, saturating that school, in the example of schools, saturating that school, reaching kids all day, every day, as much as possible. We're also seeing multiple environmental changes, retail food, corner stores, many interventions in schools, many types of interventions in the community, so tons of environmental changes. Again, I just showed you a couple of pictures of this, but what we're really learning, again, implementation matters, is that you really have to focus on what you're doing. What is the nature of those changes? If your end game is population health improvement or BMI change or all these things that a lot of our interventions are trying to do, it's very important that you think about what works and under what conditions. It's not the same for every community, but the field does know a lot more about the how than when we started 10 years ago, and a lot more about the evidence than when we started 10 years ago. And the most promising changes for us have been in schools. So, and we did not walk away from communities, but we know that we're able to get more traction in schools, and it makes perfect sense. It's a captive audience. You can saturate a school in the ways I've been talking about. But very important for us to focus on building strong interventions in schools and then measuring those kids. And in communities, it makes sense that it's harder as well. It's a larger denominator. We've got like 20,000 people in our denominator. And in schools, maybe you've got 1,000 people or even 300 if you're talking about an elementary school. So it's easier to have higher penetration in the schools. But in the communities, at the end of the day, we're trying to improve population health. And so we wanted to not walk away from communities. And we still see this as a place-based effort targeting entire communities, knowing that it's much harder in the communities and takes longer and all of that we all know. Let's see. I think I already demonstrated this, but just in case, physical activity is where we were able to pick up on more change, not just in Northern California, but across all of our 52 sites. Physical activity is where we could create it and measure it. Food is not something, again, that we walked away from, and we are seeing some great population health results, particularly in our Colorado region, which has 32 sites, and they had a big school, coordinated school health intervention, so we were able to see a lot of impact there as well, but it was in Northern California, it was physical activity and physical activity in schools where we saw the greatest impact. And food is also harder to measure, especially when you're talking about self-report and kids self-report. What did you eat yesterday? I forgot. But did you have PE? Yes. So it's just an easier measure. I think I already said enough about the longer running sites, saw more changes. I think that was hopefully clear. And then I guess last, and I didn't talk a lot about this, we saw a lot of really great relationships that didn't exist before between community groups and city planners or community groups and schools. And we started, I did mention this, on existing collaboratives, but they didn't necessarily have existing relationships with the right players for the work we were trying to do. They may or may not have had experience in obesity prevention, so this was important, and also resident engagement, community engagement, youth engagement were also very important for getting our work done in the how category of implementation matters, and how you do it is important, but community engagement, collaborative functioning was all very important as well, in addition to the implementation matters, which is my very first and probably most important comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. I think that was excellent. And I already heard a couple of ways to measure it, and dose matters, as it does in many things. So thank you. Our next two speakers are going to sort of split this presentation. They're a social and health psychologist team, Lena Hatchett and Joanne Kuba. Questions. Oh, my gosh. Let me go back and do questions for her. I think we're going to do questions after each one of the presentations, and then do a few minutes at the end. So questions for Pamela. Or Alan.
I'm a little bit familiar with the dose work, but I imagine that you sort of
Yes, it's a very good question. I didn't really get into the dose concept just for lack of time. So we start with what evidence exists as a way of assessing a score using the dose methodology. Oftentimes it's limited because we're not seeing effect size in the literature, so that gets us into to where we have to do our own evaluations. And across our 52 sites, we have something like 145 little mini evaluations going on. Not rigorous, more opportunistic of like what's different in that corner store, that kind of a thing. Intercept surveys, post-purchase, that kind of a thing. But we're building a menu of sort of effect sizes or dose calculations. So that, and that you'll see that in our toolkit. So we're actually predicting based on a combination of evidence and the evidence that we're, evidence with a small e, that we're accumulating from our interventions. So it's kind of a combination. And where we don't have literature and we don't have our own mini evaluations, then we're using a rating scheme, a rating effort where we can say low, medium, high, so we get to some dose thing. And then we're trying to organize that by what's called a dose cluster. I mentioned that, but really fast. So we organize by setting, so schools, physical activity, school nutrition, community physical activity, community nutrition, and that's where we're implementing dose. Probably hard to follow if I'm not giving a full-on dose presentation, but that's the gist of it. It's built on the evidence, but it's sparse in the area of effect sizes, which is our strength calculation part.